Hey, Prasa, how are you guys doing tonight? I'm Chase. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is February 3rd, 1995, and I'm currently blessed to be serving Oregon Area 58 as their Panel 62 delegate. And my topic is social networking sites. So what exactly is a social networking site? One of many definitions reads like this. A website that enables users to create public or private profiles within that website and form relationships with other users of the same website who access their profile. Okay, what websites are we referring to? Well, you can choose from, among many others, Facebook, Twitter, Pinster, LinkedIn, MySpace, Google+, Tagged, Orkut, Friendster, Bebo, Ning, and Badoo, to name just a few. That's a lot. For the purposes of this presentation, though, I will primarily focus on Facebook, which is by social networking standards clearly the king of the hill, and certainly a household name at this point. Facebook is a popular topic right here in our fellowship. In fact, Facebook is even a topic in one of our conference agenda items this year. More about that a bit later on. Smiley face. How many in this room have a Facebook page? Thank you for raising your hand. This is not meant to embarrass you, but to help us to get to know you better. It seems like everyone these days is getting in on the Facebook action. AA members, non-AA members, all sorts of good times. You can watch your AA friends clearly make efforts to refrain from disclosing their membership, but nonetheless dance precariously close to the edge of our 11th tradition when they post things on Facebook like, "Our women's meeting needs big books and a greeter." Or, way more innocuously, "I need a meeting." Or stalk newcomer sponsees as they post a Facebook check-in at the local bar. And if you are interested, if you're an untreated Al-Anon, you can run to their rescue before the drink can even be had. But if you think staying sober is different now with social media in our lives, what about our drinking brothers and sisters? There are probably thousands of drunks every day waking up from a blackout in front of their home computers or smartphones, totally floored at what they said to the world the night before in a tweet. It is difficult to talk about Facebook and AA without talking about anonymity, so we will chat about that in a bit. But how about that conference agenda item? Based on an additional committee consideration from the 2011 conference, the Trustees Committee on Public Information, through a subcommittee, began the development of a comprehensive media plan to improve our effectiveness in a variety of media-related areas. One of their recommendations is that AA establish a presence on Facebook for the purpose of providing information about AA to the public. The suggestion observes that this presence would serve as an informational resource only, with no interpersonal communication capabilities. Okay, so let's take a quick peek at some different angles there. As a delegate that will sit on the conference committee that will be discussing this item, I will not be coming to any conclusions in this presentation, nor will I be weighing in definitively one way or the other on this. That said, let's take a look at some possible benefits of this idea. Through the AA.org website, the internet has become an increasingly important asset for AA with respect to both discovery of our program by potential members, as well as a valuable fellowship resource that it provides with the ability to offer access to tons of AA-published fellowship information with the click of a mouse. Would this same value translate into the Facebook domain? There are reportedly 750 million Facebook users. I am not a rocket scientist, but my gut is telling me that there are some problem drinkers and alcoholics in there somewhere. If you take away the ability for the page to be interactive, meaning that no one could go there and break their own or anyone else's anonymity, the potential for its use as a public information tool is certainly promising. When used effectively, our public information efforts place information about AA where people are. The post office, payphones, park benches, television PSAs, the list goes on. And my guess is, with that many users, Facebook is a public place and may be worthy of the benefits of a centralized message coming from AA World Services, just like our other AA published tools, PI tools. Let me now voice a concern. Facebook makes its money selling ads. Obviously, that would be a no-go for our fellowship. Facebook uses what is called hyper-targeting. This is when the things that you declare that you like or that you click the like button for are made available to would-be marketers who target ads back at you tailored to your web surfing behavior. I rewrote this next sentence 10 times to try to spin it nice, but I'll just come out with it. That would clearly suck for AA to have to deal with. Can AA make its terms clear to Facebook? Will the architecture of Facebook accommodate our specific and nuanced needs with respect to our traditions? I am pretty confident, though, that this topic will be examined thoroughly before any moves are made. So now let's talk a bit about using Facebook as AA members when we communicate with each other. I personally avoid broadcasting anything about AA in my social networking posts. That said, when someone else posts, "Great to see you at the meeting tonight," I don't run for the hills or hide out in my Y2K basement until the dust settles. I'm good with a bit of casual references. I have had someone say, post on my Facebook page, "AA rocks, dude. I love you, brother." So I quietly deleted the post and private messaged the guy back and said, "I love you too." This way, I don't have to play anonymity cop or allow any goofy stuff on my page. I sometimes get the feeling that some AA members think that any use of Facebook as an AA member means trouble. I lovingly disagree. We recover from alcoholism so that we can be alert to an opportunity to carry the message wherever we are. An online space is no different. Let's say, for instance, that you are at a dinner party in a public restaurant, and you hear someone that you know mention that they are having their butt kicked by booze. You don't blab across the table about your experience. You pull them aside and tell them that you have been there before. It is no different in an online environment. You see someone suffering, you can send them a private message and say, "I've been there before. Here's my number. Let's get together." I'm not here to imply that this topic is easy or self-evident. We'd hardly be AA if we didn't stumble around a bit with new stuff. The world we live in is rapidly changing, and the balance that we should aim for is to continually fit ourselves to be of service while maintaining a solid footing in the principles that will keep us around for as long as God will have us. Bill Wilson always had a keen ability to articulate our key principles in ways that were seemingly prophetic from the vantage point of yesteryear. Speaking about what would eventually be phrased as press, radio, and films in a July 1945 article in The Grapevine, Bill called it, and I quote, "any medium of public circulation." This is a stark reminder that no matter how we phrase or supplement our 11th or 12th traditions, understanding them is the only true way to apply them effectively, and their application will surely always turn out better when we can carry an understanding of them into the fold of challenges, rather than a rule book or an iron-fisted grip on the way things used to be. True, Bill Wilson didn't tweet or post or even blog. Hardly. Actually, if you said, "Hey, Bill, I will tweet you the URL to that download link," he might think that you have untreated alcoholism, though I suspect he would be inspired. I will close with a quote from Bill from 1960. "Nothing matters more to AA's future welfare than the manner in which we use the colossus of modern communication. Used unselfishly and well, it can produce results surpassing our present imagination." Thank you.